This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's find out what Chris Fedor says about it. He covers the Cleveland Cavaliers for Cleveland.com. He joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Show me your
balls, good morning, guys.
Big boy.
Wait a minute. Hold on. He wasn't ready for that.
He got rid of all of those.
I thought those were gone. It's good to see you, Chris. You're live from Oklahoma City, correct?
Yes. Can you see me? Is that how this works?
No, I can't see you. I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you. You're talking to me. What's going to happen with Tristan Thompson today, bud?
I think he's going to go. I don't know exactly where. There are a number of teams that have shown interest in Tristan. Houston makes a lot of sense now that they don't have Clint Capella. Dallas makes a lot of sense because they lost Dwight Powell to a season-ending Achilles injury, and he's a better option long-term and short-term than Willie Cauley-Stein. The Los Angeles Clippers have made a lot of sense, too, because they just need somebody that's going to be a better option for them, more reliable, more consistent, more experienced than Ivica Zubac and Montrezl Harrell coming off the bench when they play in matchups against the Lakers with Anthony Davis, the Denver Nuggets against Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz. It's a tough road for the Clippers out west when it comes to playing against big guys, and I'm just not sure that they have anybody that they're comfortable enough with in a seven-game series against those kinds of guys. So I do think Tristan is going to go. There's a chance that he doesn't if the Cavs obviously don't get what they want for him. They're not just going to trade him just to trade him, even though his camp is really pushing for that. I just think there's enough interest in bigs around the NBA, enough teams around the NBA that need bigs that will see him traded before 3 o'clock.
Yeah, but Chris, what's the trade profile that they're willing to accept in return for somebody like Tristan? And you could go on and talk about the other players too, but there has to be a window. They can't just say, well, it has to be within these five potential picks that we're going to be willing in next year's draft order to do it, is it?
I don't think so. Lima, I think early on in this process, I think the Cavs were hoping for a quote-unquote good first-round pick. And to me, that meant borderline lottery. That meant early 20s, not necessarily late 20s. But I think there's a reality of teams that are interested in that means if the Cavs can get a first-round pick, even if it's between, let's say, 25 and 30, and get an expiring contract along with him, I think that's something that they would be interested in.
Chris Fedor, join us on the hotline. Let's move on to, obviously, Kevin Love, which the day he signed that contract, really the day after he signed the contract, we wondered, all right, how long is Kevin Love really going to be here? And right now, nothing seems to be heating up, at least from the big rumors, from the big guys that kind of break down this stuff. Haven't really heard a ton when it comes to Kevin Love. Are the Cavs going to be just good having him until the end of the season and work from there?
Yes. The problem is, right now in the NBA, there is a value that other teams around the league have placed on Kevin. And then there's a value that the Cavs have placed on Kevin, and they have from the very beginning. And it doesn't match. All of these things are fluid. All of these things can change. Some team could potentially get desperate at the trade deadline. And you know how this goes. Nobody is going to make their best offer on Monday. If a best offer comes, it's going to be right before the deadline today. So unless the Cavs get an offer that they don't currently expect, he's going to stick here. And they're okay with that because internally the Cavs have honestly believed that their best chance of moving Kevin in terms of a value standpoint and getting the most back for him is not at the trade deadline this year. It's this offseason when teams don't have any money to spend in free agency, where there aren't a lot of quote-unquote high-impact free agents available anyway, and there are teams that aren't going to be able to be 2021 players in free agency So they feel like they have to strike earlier than that and make their big move this offseason. And if there aren't any high-impact free agents available, what are they going to do? They're going to call teams like the Cavs and see maybe, possibly, if they can trade for Kevin. But I've been told that the Cavs' value on Kevin has not changed, and their demands on what they want in return for Kevin, a combination of players and picks, has not changed either. Maybe something happens before 3 o'clock, but I doubt it.
I do get nervous, though, that there are going to be more behind-the-scenes stories that the rest of the NBA is paying attention to just as much as we are here locally, and that also he has a big-time injury history, a complicated injury
sure.
history, and that body, he's not getting any younger, wrong side of 30. So, yeah, the Cavs might not have moved off what they would take for him, but that could also have to change. Their hand could be forced there.
Agreed. I just don't think they feel like it has to now. It's not a situation where Kevin is a free agent at this end of the year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be under contract, and because of that, they feel like we could push it into this offseason and feel like there is value in a trade this offseason. Now, look, if they don't get the value that they want this offseason, then maybe they're going to have to recalibrate, and maybe they're going to have to rethink it. But from the very beginning, even before some of his temper tantrums, even before he didn't put up the monster numbers that the Cavs were internally hoping for this year in John Beilein's system, there was a belief that the most value that he was going to bring back was not at the trade deadline, it was this offseason. If it doesn't come this offseason, then maybe I think they rethink their value on him.
Can I count on him talking about Kevin Love to play nice and not have any of this childish stuff that he pulled in the first half of the season?
Fair question. I think so. I got the sense that Kevin just needed to vent, right? Like, I think he just needed to get it off his chest. And he did that. And after he did that, he apologized. He talked about empathy. He talked about how bad it looked, some of those temper tantrums on the court. And on top of that, the Cavs talked to him. The Cavs talked to him and said, hey, look, like, this isn't doing anything good for anybody, including you and your trade value. So I think that's part of the reason why the Cavs have been able to take this stance that they have in terms of what value they've placed on him, because it's not currently toxic. And I don't think they feel like it's going to be toxic over the next couple of months if Kevin stays here beyond the trade deadline. Maybe, possibly, there are teams around the NBA that wonder about it. Maybe, possibly, there are teams around the NBA that wonder if he's the person that has been leaking some of the stories that have come from The Athletic and some other outlets throughout the course of the season. But I think in terms of his relationship with this organization, his relationship with his teammates, his relationship with this coaching staff, the way that he has played in January and February since that temper tantrum, I think the Cavs believe it's going to be fine. Going into next year, if Kevin's still here, if John Beilein is still here, that might be a different question, but I don't think we're there yet.
Chris Fedor, join us on the hotline. A lot of Cavs fans like Ken, and we both talked about this a ton, is just how nervous we are about this turnaround if this young core isn't what we were all hoping they could be, or if they're behind schedule, or maybe just even on schedule. We know how long a rebuild is and how difficult it is to endure. With all that said, what is the quickest way that this Cavs team can kick this rebuild into high gear if they can't make these trades to get the assets that they could use?
I think yesterday was a bad day for the Cavs, and not a lot of people were paying attention to it. But they were one of the few teams with cap space this offseason. They are still one of the few teams with cap space this offseason. And you might be saying, well, Chris, you just said there aren't any high-impact free agents available. So who are they going to spend that money on? And you might be saying, well, come on, it's Cleveland. Nobody's going to go to Cleveland. The Cavs felt like they could have made some hay in the restricted free agent market. They felt like they were going to be able to make some competitive offers. But Jaylen Brown's not on the board anymore because he got the extension before the season from Boston. Buddy Hield is not on the board anymore because he got the extension. Sacramento made some moves to protect themselves when it comes to Bogdanović. So that's not an option anymore. I think they were eyeing Dylan Brooks of the Memphis Grizzlies as some possibility. So those guys either getting extensions already, or those teams that have those guys making moves so that they can keep them, was not a great thing for the Cavs if they wanted to accelerate the rebuild. So I don't know, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be long. I think if you look at some of the moves that they have made and some of the draft picks that they've acquired, it points to 2022, 2023 as when they expect to be competitive.
So oh, that's a ways off.
Yeah, I mean, what's the pitch from Kobe, the Cavs, Dan Gilbert, who we've heard lately is going to be giving a speech to Detroit businessmen over there soon in the next month. What is going to be the pitch? I know season ticket holders, a lot of them signed that three-year contract 3 years ago. Well, that's over. And you and I are seeing the same thing. Listen, Chris, we love basketball. Ken loves basketball. Yep. But there aren't enough people that love it to that extent to keep that place full. What is that place going to look like next year?
I think it's going to look very similar to how it's looked this year. It's been pretty empty. The fans that have been there have been engaged, and they've been into the team, and it seems like there are aspects of the team, emphasis on aspects of the team, not the complete picture, that they're enjoying, right? The rise of Kevin Porter Jr., seeing Darius Garland progress. Colin Sexton's been really good since Jordan Clarkson got traded on December 23rd. So those aspects, maybe possibly, that helps with fans, but there's a reality of the situation that the Cavs are in. There's a reality when it comes to this plan. There are no shortcuts. They don't want to shortcut it. They're trying to go about it the right way. Look, Philadelphia didn't hit rock bottom until year three. Right, Boston didn't get their best young player until 2017. Brad Stevens got there in 2014. So I just think it's really, really hard what they're trying to do. There are no guarantees. I wish I could say something that are going to make the fans feel better about this moving forward, but it's really, really difficult. And sometimes it's hard to see when you're looking so much at results. And I get why you do. And when you're looking so much at record, and I get why you do, it can be really, really difficult. But this is, in terms of how you have to view this rebuild, I honestly think it's very similar to the way that you had to view the 1-31 Browns. Yes, the end product was a disaster, and it pointed to 1-31. That didn't mean that the rebuild itself was a disaster.
But, Chris, I think what I'm worried about with the Cavs, maybe I shouldn't say I'm worried because I want them to be good. I want them to be in the vein of being like an 8 seed by next year or the year after. Is there any chance, Chris, they just say, you know what, we got all this cap space, we're going to take a shortcut right now, and we're going to spend money on a guy who may not totally deserve it but can definitely make the team better?
I don't see it because I just don't see a guy out there that they'd be willing to spend on. I think another way that they could potentially...
Like if they gave Andre Drummond the highest contract of anybody in basketball.
I do not see that, no. Not if John Beilein's here. Because that's part of the issue when it comes to Tristan Thompson. And I don't know for sure that John Beilein's going to last more than 1 year.
That's what I was
going
to say. Is John Beilein done?
I don't know. I think that remains...
Give me a percentage. Can I get a percentage?
That he's done after 1 year?
Yeah.
35%.
Okay, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I think he's changed. I think he's adapted. I think players have seen that. I don't think it's coincidence that everybody is speaking about having more empathy and understanding that as much as rookies and players go through growing pains early in their career, coaches do too. And I don't think the way that this team is run now is the same as the way that it was run at the beginning of the season. And I think players have seen him try to change. Even though not every result is what people want, they have seen him try to change. But going back to Tristan, if John Beilein's here, his vision is a five-out offense. He wants a center that can knock down threes and space the floor. That's part of the hang-up in terms of conversations with Tristan and his camp and the Cavs about an extension. And look, if Tristan gets traded today, you're probably going to see a lot of spin coming from the Rich Paul camp about the reason why Tristan's Cavs career came to an end is because the Cavs weren't willing to give Tristan an extension, or because they quote-unquote lowballed him. So just be prepared for that, because that's the way Rich Paul operates. But I don't see that as true. Like, Tristan would have taken an extension from the Cavs if it was the most TT-friendly extension imaginable, and it didn't really benefit the Cavs. And I just don't think the Cavs felt like, with so many unknowns going into the offseason, that they were going to be willing to lock themselves and put themselves into a box when it came to Tristan, a guy that may not fit the vision of the coach who may be here following this year in terms of what he wants as a center. And, oh, by the way, like, the Cavs maybe possibly could draft James Wiseman from Memphis. So do you really want to commit that kind of money to somebody like Tristan Thompson when there are so many other unknowns? So just keep that in mind.
Chris, we thank you very much for the time, brother. All the best.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Come on, Cavs!
Chris Fedor. That's a guy, I hope this gets back to him. I should text him during the break. I'm glad I heard him, because I thought this was going to be, guys, listen, this takes a minute, and everything's going to be fine. He didn't sound like everything was going to be fine. Like, I read Chris.
That was
going
to be a puff piece.
I read Chris's articles. I do. And there have been, I go, boy, the Chris Fedor I know loves to take the gloves off. And that, I will admit, I have thought, I'm like, man, there's some flowery stuff in here. And then he gets on with us, and he's like, yeah, not till 2022, 2023. This isn't very good at all. This is what's going on right now isn't that great. Like, he brought up a lot of stuff, and I'm like, wow. That's why I need to hear the man out.
This is tough. This is really
sucks.
Tough.
That
and
sucks.
The Cavs are in a tough spot. Colin Sexton, he's right, is playing much better. But do the Cavs right now on their team have a future all-star, future building block, nucleus guy?
No.
Right now it looks like
there are two things. If you say yes, you're either a blind homer or you really have not watched the Cavs at all this year. And you just go, well, they're young. So what do you go? You can't say that. Darius Garland, I'm not commenting on because I want to be fair to the guy. So I don't want to do that because he's a baby. Colin Sexton, I told you, by Christmas I'd start to give criticism and commentary on him. It's past Christmas. He's become what you say. He's a high-volume scorer. He takes high-volume shots. That's all he does is take shots.
He's played great this month.
And he's played well this month. I'm not taking that part away from him, but I don't think I see All-Stars out of that right now. I think Kevin Porter might have the best shot out of all of it, but that might be craziness out of me. Chris was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got Jeff right now with the update, and then we might run down this dude from the NFL Network. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyme live on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.